Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, listen, I want us to look at the Scripture this morning. I want the Lord to speak to us. He knows what we need. He knows what continued development and growth we need in our life. There's a saying, okay, and you're like, hey, wait a minute, only the Scripture. Just hold on, we're going to get there. All right, there's a saying that says, the eye cannot see the eye. It needs outside help, right? Yeah, I know there's been times where Sue will get something in her eye. She's messing with it. It's bothering her. And it's, hey, Randy, could you, like, is that, where is it? I can feel it. It's, and she can't see it. It's in her eye. I have to look. She needs outside help for me to look at her eye. The eye cannot see the eye. And the message of that is that we need some outside help to see what's going on. We don't always see everything. You've heard phrases like blind spots, right? Yeah? If you have a real close friend, you might say, help me with my blind spot, things that I don't see about myself, right? That I'm going to humble myself enough for you to speak into my life and tell me something that maybe I've not noticed, or that I've noticed but I've ignored, or something about me that, you know what, maybe it just isn't Christ-like, or maybe it's negatively abrasive. Help me out here, right? In general, we don't care for that, right? What do you think stops us from allowing people to speak into our life? You don't have to answer out loud, but you can, certainly answer in your own heart and mind. Or you can say it out loud. Yeah, pride, fear, usually attached to some pride, right? Yeah. And so these kind of things, they don't seem to be, the things that hinder us don't seem to be the nature of the things of the Spirit of God or the character of God. Has to do with the fallen nature, our flesh, things that still need to be worked out of us. You know, if you look throughout the Scriptures, you will see on many occasions where someone gave permission for someone else to speak into their life. You can see it with Samuel, great prophet of the Old Testament. His mentor was Eli, right? Eli mentored Samuel. Now, it doesn't make Eli perfect. We know that. We know some things about Eli. But he was still a mentor where he spoke into Samuel's life. Listen, mentors other than Jesus, your mentors will never be perfect. But does that mean that you don't listen to anything that they say? I told my children when they were in our home and even afterwards, when they got to a point of development and understanding, and I share this too with the staffs that I've had the privilege of leading here and in the past and at other places, or ministry departments, leaders, those who were part of a leadership team. I in ministry specifically, but I've reminded them of something that I learned in the younger years of ministry. Ministry is, and this can happen outside of ministry, but ministry is an interesting thing when you're in a place of leadership. There is those who, they like to say they mean well, but they really, I don't know that they mean well all the time. They come and, give their two cents or criticisms of you or the ministry or how something went or something they didn't like or, you know. And they come sometimes not in a humble manner, in a kind manner. They come in a very demeaning, critical manner, trying to, I don't know if they're, if it's a pride in them or something in their past that they didn't know how to deal with criticisms or people oppressing them or whatever it is, but they just kind of come across. And, you know, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, it's just not nice. And it's not that my flesh is resisting something. I've had to teach, you know, I learned early, had to teach, like I said, the children in my home as it got to a developmental age, staffs that I've had to lead and department leadership, is say, you know, when somebody comes and they just rip you up, condemn you, criticize you, all of that, I said, you know, you're in the ministry, so we're going to be gracious. I said, it's maybe more challenging for some of you not to take it personal or for you to dig your heels in or complain to God about people. I said, listen, they may come and dump on you a lot of garbage. I said, and the principle is this, you got to learn, you and I have to learn to be a garbage picker. Right, say it with me, it's a weird word, garbage picker. What it means is this, maybe they came in a wrong spirit, maybe a lot of what they said just wasn't true, wasn't accurate, maybe they just don't like you, maybe they are envious, maybe all kinds of reasons. But everything that they dumped on you, sort through it, because there might be some little piece in there somewhere that has value that you can take from that as you sort through it all, and maybe you dismiss most of it, but there might be some little thing in there of value. Have you ever gone through garbage and found something? Oh, some of you, yeah. Some of you are like, I would never dig through garbage. Listen, sometimes there's some little thing in there, okay, that has value. It didn't really come in a nice, neat package. It wasn't sweet. It was mixed in with a lot of other things that were detrimental and maybe critical and demeaning and all of that. But don't just throw that out. Pick through that. There might be something in there of value that you can add to your life or to your understanding that God could take and say, I want you to pay attention to this. I may have not sent them to you, but I want you to take this little piece out because it will have value for you. And that's a difficult and challenging thing to do when somebody comes and maybe we already have insecurities or maybe we're predominantly healthy that way, but somebody comes in a wrong spirit and just does that stuff. And that happens to all of us, but I want to remind them not to just throw everything out. There might be something in there that spurs a thought. It may not have to do specifically with whatever they came to talk to you about, but there's a little something there of value that might lead you to another thought, and there's the gift. There's the prize that can be added to our life experience and outlook that God can use in building us into the person that we should be, or the servant that we should become, or the leader that we should become. Those are really the same word. And so, you know, Samuel had to learn some things. He learned from Eli. Elijah, he mentored Elisha. But we can go through the scripture. You can look at Solomon, and he mentored the Queen of Sheba. Obviously, Jesus, the perfect mentor, he mentored the disciples. You will look at the Apostle Paul. He mentored his son in the faith, Timothy. You can look throughout the scripture, and there were these mentors, these people. You know, you can look back, and here, this would be found in Exodus. And it's in chapter, 18, I believe. I'm not going to read it. I'm just referring to it. And you will see that Moses, leading God's people, they were continuing to bring disputes to him. And it was, the days were long and the nights were long. He was getting exhausted. He was worn out. And his father-in-law comes to him and says, "This is not good." Comes to him and he says, "This is not good. This is going to wear you out. You need to select some godly men among you and train them and give them the law and the instructions so that they can share in the burden." And then he just says, "God be with you." So Jethro comes and he speaks into Moses' life, mentored him in something. Moses needed it. He wouldn't have lasted. His father-in-law recognized something and spoke into his life. Listen, pride will ruin. It will ruin you and I. I want you to listen to this, and it's in Ezekiel chapter 28. And I'm going to read some verses here. This has to do with the prophet being sent to the king of Tyre. And the king was being filled with pride and arrogance. And now the prophet is sent to tell him of the destruction because of his pride. He had a measure of success. And it's interesting that when God sends Ezekiel to tell the king of Tyre about this, he explains it in a way where he's describing what happened to Lucifer or Satan. I want you to listen to this, okay? Ezekiel 28, and it's in verse 12. We'll start there. And it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, the son of man, rise, a lamentation over the king of Tyre. Say to him, thus says the Lord God." So let's pay attention to this. Okay. "You were the signet perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God." He's making a parallel here. It's a prophetic message about what has already been done. What was seen in Lucifer that now is looking very similar to what is happening in the king of Tyre. He says, "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and craft and gold were your settings and your engravings. On the day that you were created, they were prepared for you. You were an anointed guardian cherub," okay? Lucifer. Basically, the equation would probably be archangel, okay? "I place you, you were on the holy mountain of God in the midst of the stones of fire. You walked, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God. I destroyed you, O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." Now listen, "Your heart was proud. Your heart was proud because of your beauty." You corrupted your wisdom or your judgment for the sake of your own splendor. I cast you to the ground, exposed you before kings to feast their eyes on you. The passage goes on. I want you to say beauty. Beauty. What corrupted the wisdom or the judgment of the king of Tyre, Lucifer, what corrupted it was their beauty. Got proud. got proud. And pride skewed their judgment. Forfeited all the wisdom and the things that were given to them by God. That's what pride will do to you and I. It will skew and alter our judgment because we are so taken with ourself. And it's not just beauty. It's about accomplishments or whatever you deem as success in your life. And some of that is all relative, you know. For us, we can feel like we had great success because we came from a small pond and we seem to be a big fish, right? And then you realize there are, bigger fish from bigger oceans. Greater, more talented, more beautiful, whatever it is in the area of whatever you see as success. See, he describes that your heart became proud on account of your beauty and it corrupted your judgment because of your own splendor. Solomon, known as the wisest of men. He asked God for wisdom and God gave it to him because God gives generously wisdom to those who ask. We see that in the New Testament. So here's Solomon and he becomes the wisest of all men. You'll find it in 1 Kings chapter 4, chapter 3. Listen, it talks about him. Now listen to this. Because of his wisdom, which brought success and wealth, his wisdom brought success and wealth, which corrupted his judgment. And in the end, what did the wisest man that received all this wisdom from God, what did he do? In the end, he started building temples to idols. So taken with his success, his wealth, I don't know what the snare is for you that fuels your pride or my pride, that I know. That God speaks to me, but I'm telling you, this pride, it will ruin you. You watch it through the history of time. This pride will ruin us because we won't humble ourselves to take advice or mentoring from someone else. I want to share something with you that I've watched and gathered in observation over time. I've watched those who are experts or they excel in a specific area. Maybe more than one area. But it's interesting, when pride sets in, they all of a sudden act and give their opinion on everything as if they are an expert in everything. And you know as well as I do, nobody is an expert in everything. But pride gets in the way. We see it, we can see it in our own life, we can see it maybe people at work, we can see it in our family, we could see it in our neighbors, our community. You can certainly see it all over social network if you go there. I'm not really there much, but you know, you can see it on TV, you can see it somewhere, some report, some news. Somebody, because they've been skillful in their craft and they've been an expert in one area, now they're speaking into other areas, trying to influence people as if now they're an expert everywhere. You see this in Hollywood and they talk about politics. Now, some of them, they might know some things. And this is not shifting gears here to talk about politics. I'm here to preach the gospel, not politics. I'm just saying here's an example, a living example, of people who maybe are an expert somewhere and now they think their voice, they're an expert everywhere. And they don't, when that happens, we don't lend our ear to mentors. And for people to speak into our life, we think we are the only voice. Let me ask you, who do you give permission to speak into your life? You know, as hard as it is sometimes because we are flesh, I've learned that there's times, you know what, I better pay attention to what my wife's saying. There's some things that come out of her mouth that I think about after the fact. And I have a conversation with the Lord about that. And I'll tell you what, she has been a help to me over all these years. It doesn't mean that everything comes out of her mouth, right? That's not what I'm saying. There's times that she has been very insightful and the Lord has used the words out of her mouth to influence me in what the Lord was trying to get my attention about or to grow me and develop me. I'm the man of the house. You don't tell me, woman. Now, need to pay attention. God gave her to me. And she's to be a helper to me. Does it mean I do everything she says? Absolutely not. We work through some things. And it doesn't mean she's wrong. Right? Because there's more than one way to move a couch around the living room. Yeah. Listen, who are you going to give permission to speak into your life? Who's your mentor? See, I've had some mentors in my life. I'll just use one area of where mentors came from in my life. Is I had the privilege of working under some senior pastors. Some really good senior pastors. And I learned some things that I wanted to do like they did. And from some of the same mentors, I learned things that I should not do. See, mentors, we always think they teach us what we should do. There are also mentors that we observe and watch that we go, I'm not going to do that. I tried to take good notes. You need to know I was taking good notes when I was a staff pastor working for these senior pastors. And at that point in my life, I never planned on being a senior pastor. I had no desire to be a senior pastor. Now, God knows the future and the leadings in our life, and things change for us because He owns our heart, right? When we say, hey, you own my heart, you have my address, you can change my address when you want, I'm going to follow you. That's my commitment. And so we tried to honor that the best that we can. But I took notes along the way. He just helped me. I'm not crediting myself for this. He just made me pay attention. And he helped me. And regardless of what I was learning and what I was learning to do and things not to do, I always stayed loyal to the senior pastor. He was the person I was called to serve. And so, loyalty to them. I gave them permission to speak into my life, and I learned much. And it has been a help and an arsenal to me throughout my life of ministry. What I am asking you is, who do you get permission to speak to you into your life? There's a pastor in Hawaii has pioneered and built a massive church. He spends his time in Hawaii and now some in Oregon. And his name is Pastor Wayne Cordero. And he shares part of his life, his devotional life. He's written some books about it. And he refers to spending time with his 400 friends or 400 mentors. It sounds like a lot, doesn't it? He's talking about the people in here that have been written about. More than just their name being mentioned, right? Because, you know, there's like over 3,200 people named here, okay? And some of them have the same name, right? You know, so who's who and all of that. No, separate individuals, probably over 3,200. If you want to check me and take time to count, you go ahead. You can do that if you really feel like that's a good thing for you to spend your time on. And so he talks about taking time with his friends. I want you to maybe look at your devotional life. When I say devotional life, that means, you know, the moments where you take and you are devoted to reading the scripture, reading passages. You know, sometimes we struggle with, I don't know how to do this in my life. I don't know how to read the Bible. I don't know, I'm reading it, or I don't understand it, or I'm not sure how to approach this. I'm not sure how it's, you know, I look at the words of Jesus, and there's teaching there, obviously, and they're words of life to me. But, you know, sometimes we're like, I'm a Christian, I'm trying to follow the Lord, but this is an area where I struggle, or where I've struggled on what to do and how to do this. Let me just give you some things maybe that you might want to consider. Because based upon 2 Timothy 3:16, this word is inspired, all of it. Okay? All of it. And it's supposed to impact and teach us, encourage us, correct us, give us wisdom, all of that for our life. And so maybe what will help you is a little bit of a perspective where you say, where I'm going to read or where I'm reading through, I am going to allow myself to spend time with my mentors. All these people who are not just mentioned, but mentioned something about them, something that happened to them, something they prayed, something they did, something they have gone through. That you start to approach this with, I'm going to go meet with one of my mentors. And I just cracked this open because you can pretty much do this almost anywhere. And it cracks open to 1 Samuel chapter 18, and it talks about David and Jonathan's friendship. And you can go through this and you can read and you say, you know, how did David conduct himself? What was David thinking? What did David say? What did David do? Because I can learn from David on what to do and what not to do and how to handle similar circumstances or friendships or relationships in my life. You can look to Jonathan, spend some time with him as a mentor, to mentor you, to teach me how to live, how to act, that God's word is speaking to us, to observe these things. What's happening in the scripture? Right? We have the perspective, what is God saying to me, which is true, and that's the right perspective. But if it will help you by saying, I'm going to spend time with my 400 friends. I'm going to pick one today. I'm going to pick a couple today. I am going to observe them in the scripture. What did they say? What did God say to them? What did they do? I'm going to learn things to do and say, and I'm going to learn things from them of what not to do. I want to encourage you to start spending time with your mentors. They are mentors in the household of faith. This has been written and given to you and I, so that we would learn and know God and how he deals with people and how people responded to him and how it affected their life, how they made it through trouble. Hey, have any of these been lonely? Because you struggle with lonely? I need to know how to navigate through this. Oh boy, did they make a mistake. Well, I better check my attitude and make sure I don't respond like that. Oh, they didn't instruct their children. Oh, what did that lead to? Oh, this one instructed their child. What did that lead to? What became? Is there something that says that something became of their child? You see, going through this, we can spend time with our mentors, our friends. You get to meet them before you get to meet them. right? Because the day's coming where we will leave this life and we will join the great cloud of witnesses. But you get to meet them now, and they get to speak into your life. We should probably have some human mentors who are living and give them permission to speak into our lives. It doesn't mean you just open it up and you go walking around, anybody want to be my mentor? That could lead to a lot of trouble. Of course, you already know that because you've listened to strange voices before and they have led you astray and into some faulty thinking. But I want to encourage you to be a garbage picker, because there might be some little thing somewhere that's truth. It's not that it just sounds good and tickles our ears, or I like that. I like what they're saying because I already know that and agree with it, therefore I like them. You and I need to have some things said to us by our mentors and by the Word of God and by Jesus himself that will truly agitate our flesh, that we will learn how to crucify our flesh, how to honor God, and I want to encourage you to spend time with your mentors. You have your Bible with you? Hold it in your hands. If you don't, and you are a device person, that's okay. Hold your device in your hands that you have your Bible on. And if you're like, I don't have my Bible and I don't have a Bible on my device, well, you can download an app real easily for free and you don't need to do it right now. But you can do it before you leave the parking lot if you need to. Just not while you're driving in the Larkey parking lot. Got to put out all those disclaimers. You have some friends here. You have some people here who have gone through similar things that you've gone through. You've got people here who have been hurt in similar ways that you've been hurt. And you can read about it. And you can learn of him. You can learn of these men and women. They will speak into your life. They will mentor you. I want to encourage you to maybe approach God's word that way if you struggle with how to read it, observe it, apply. You know, maybe you can come up with some questions that maybe you can't get answers to, but it shows that you're thinking and observing, you know. For example, I wonder if the king of Tyre had any true friends that came to him and warned him about what was happening in his life that they saw. I wonder if he had any true friend that gently spoke to him. I wonder if he had any warnings about the pride in his life. I wonder if there would have been maybe a different outcome for him and for the people. I wonder if any of the other archangels spoke to Lucifer and warned him about what he was starting to conceive in his mind. I wonder if you and I would have listened to somebody. And if we did, it would have maybe saved us some heartache or trouble or misdirection or a struggling that we maybe wouldn't have had to deal with. I wonder if I would have listened to my father on a few things that maybe I didn't listen to him real well on, if it would have helped me or saved me some. I wonder if I would have listened to my mother a few times more than I did if it would have got me further along quicker. We all learn through hardship. God is gracious with our disobedience. But you have been sent mentors. These pages are filled with your friends. I want to encourage you as you start to read your Bible and you go through His Word that you look at the Scripture, you observe. You think about, how do I apply this to my life? How do I make a note on this? And I want to encourage you to pray about it. This is how we live our life of faith every day. This is how we grow. This is how we learn lessons. This is how we apply it into the fabric of who we're becoming. You see, the Holy Spirit, we just want Him to come and go, poof. Right? Oh, I want to be changed. I want to be more like Jesus. Poof. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired this word. These words came from God. The Holy Spirit inspired people to write what's in these pages. It's the same Holy Spirit that you're wanting to go have you have them go poof. And He says, here's part of the poof process. Seek the Lord. Read it. Think about it. Talk to me about it. Because the Holy Spirit will lead you in all truth. And He will not deviate from God's Word, God's inspired Word to you. And He's going to show you things. He's going to show you things. You may not find the lineages in the Old Testament, chapters of so-and-so begats so-and-so, and so-and-so begats so-and-so. And you may not find that real inspiring to you. Then you go ahead and jump ahead until you mature and go, oh, wait, there's a reason for that lineage. Because it talks about how God kept the lineage all the way down through Jesus Christ. So this all ties together. It's all important. But if you're saying, you know, I need real practical Christian living here. I need some milk of the Word. I'm trying to get to the meat of the Word. Then I want you to know you need to spend time with your friends. And I'd like you to consider of how you can do that in your daily reading time. I want you to stand up with me. Now, I want you to hear this. I am not telling you to pray to these people. That's not what I'm telling you. You get to read about them, and you pray to God. You talk to God. You talk to Jesus. You talk to the Holy Spirit, okay? I'm not telling you to pray to these people. Don't confuse this. But spend time with your friends, your mentors, that you could learn and say, oh, look what pride did to their life. Pride kept them from listening. Pride kept them from listening to this person. And then they started to resent that person, started to hate that person, started to talk about that person, and went their own way. Well, you don't have to look very far for that to happen. That happens in our own homes. Ooh. See, put away your pride. Allow people to speak into your life. Allow your mentors to speak into your life. You may not keep this as a promise, but I'm going to have you say it with me. Pastor. See, now you're talking to me. That's so nice. Pastor, with God's help, on a daily basis, I'm going to start spending time with some of my mentors. They'll teach you how to make it through struggle. They'll also show you where they failed in struggle. And then you go, oh, wait, I don't want to do that. Yeah. His word is living. It's active. It works deep into us. I want you to be people of his word because I want you to know him. I want you to remember things about your mentors so that when something comes around the corner that you didn't expect in your life, you go, oh, wait a minute. I know about this. I know about this. Oh, yeah. There's some things from King David, boy, I want to emulate. And there's some things about King David that I definitely want to stay away from. Right? You can say that about pretty much everybody in here except Jesus. And God revealed mentors to us we can learn from. So spend time with your mentors. Spend time with some of your friends in the faith. Let them speak to you.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.